We open our Bibles together in the book of Genesis in the chapter 44. The 44th chapter of the book of Genesis. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy word. And we commence to read at verse number 6. Genesis chapter 44, verse 6, "And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, Wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sack's mouth we brought again unto thee out of the land of Egypt. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. And he said, Now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack, and he searched, and began at the eldest and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes, and laid at every man his ass, and returned to the city, and Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell down before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, What deed is this that ye have done? Would ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are the Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ear. And let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead. And he alone is left to his mother, and his father loveth him. Thou saith unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidst unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come down to me, ye shall see my face no more. It came to pass that when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down. If our youngest brother be not with us, then we will go down. But we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, the mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with me, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass that when he seeth the lad is not with us, that he will die, and thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to his word for his name's sake. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's seek the face of God together, please, in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we bow before Thee this morning. And we thank Thee for Thy precious word. And we pray that Thou will write Thy word upon each and every one of our hearts. O God, instruct us from Thy truth. And may we see here, our God, a beautiful gospel message for our hearts. And may many this day come to know the Savior Himself, whom to know is life everlasting. Bless Thy word to all of our hearts, we pray. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. In verse number 12 of this 44th chapter of the book of Genesis, we find it says, "And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack." How did it get there? Who put it there? It doesn't really matter now. Because in one moment, their life comes crashing down around them. We have looked in this passage here in chapter 14. We looked at the plan. And then we looked at the protestation. And then we looked at the perplexity. Because in verse 13, it says, "Then they rent their clothes and laid it every man his ass and returned to the city." Here we see the anguish of their hearts in the rending of their clothes. They knew that the evidence that was against them was overwhelming. And they knew that the Egyptian had the power. This mighty ruler had the power. And it seems up until this moment, it seemed as if he was merciless. In the verses 7 to 9 that we read here, it said they spoke so boldly. And in those verses, they were looking for justice. But now they're not looking for justice, because in verse 14, they're looking for mercy. "And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was there, and they fell before him onto the ground." They were looking not for justice anymore. "My, they were bold in their statement," verse number 9, "with whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen." They were so arrogant in their assurance that there was nothing wrong, that the cup would not be found, that they said arrogantly, "Yes, let the one in whom the cup is found, let him die, and let my Lord, the rest of us, be my Lord's bondmen." But now when we come to the on down the passage of verse 14, it's not justice they're looking. They throw themselves at the feet of Joseph. It says they fell before him onto the ground. We finished off in our last study in this, where they made their way back to Joseph here in this verse. And Joseph, it says in verse 14, "And Joseph and his brethren," or the Judah and his brethren, "came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there." He was there waiting, wondering, would they come back? Would they return? Or would they give Benjamin over to him? And so we find that Joseph was waiting for them. You know, as they made their way back to Joseph, there was no hope. They knew that they had been found out. They knew that they had been guilty. Look at what it says there in verse 16. "And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves?" And then he made this statement, "God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants." He made this statement, "God hath found out the iniquity." God had found them out. And here we find, for the first time, they made a very clear confession of their guilt and of their sin, that God had found them out. And the Word of God makes it clear this morning. God says in His precious Word, "Be sure your sin will find you out." And that's exactly what happens here, because they're acknowledging that God has found them out. One commentator said, "God knows how to get our attention. He's not afraid to touch or take what He pleases to speak to our hearts. He is a silver cup that He can place in our lives to open our eyes when we would walk away from Him. Sooner or later, the silver cup will end up in our sacks." And I wonder what it is that it's going to take, friend, until God stops you. What will it take, dear unsaved person in this meeting? What will it take for God to place in your sack, to find you out, to bring you to the place of confession, to bring you to the place of repentance? And here they cried out, or Judah cried out on behalf of his brethren, God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. My friend, what an awful thing that men and women would go on until the day of judgment and die in their sin and die hopeless and go to a lost eternity, to realize that God at last had found them out. The sin that they covered up for years, the sin that they had forgotten, the sin that they had done against the God of glory, the God of heaven. And then to stand before God and the book of God open, and when the book of God is written or read, rather, to find out, God hath found me out on that day. And there is no place of repentance, and there is no place of mercy, and there is no way of pardon anymore. But men and women to go from that scene of judgment out into a Christless, unending eternity forever. It brings us, number four, to the petition. And here we find in the words of Judah some amazing words of intercession. You see, Judah was Benjamin's surety, but he also was Benjamin's intercessor. Thank God, those who are saved this morning, we can look at the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is our surety. Thank God, he took our place. He died in our guilty room instead, but he's something else. He's also our intercessor, who also maketh intercessions for us. Thank God he intercedes. There's one in the glory at the Father's right hand who intercedes for us. Martin Luther said concerning this petition, he said, I would give very much if I could pray to our Lord God as well as Judah prays to Joseph here. For it is a perfect specimen of prayer. The true feeling there ought to be in our prayers. I want to tell you, Judah wasn't mocking Joseph in the words he said. He wasn't half-hearted. He's crying out here before Judah as he falls before him. And so we find that Judah comes before Joseph unknowingly. It's Joseph. But he comes before him and he makes a petition unto him. He acknowledges the hand of God upon this whole situation. Notice he doesn't blame Benjamin for the situation. He doesn't blame Jacob for loving Benjamin. He doesn't blame others for setting them up. No, he says, God hath found us out. One commentator said concerning this passage of Judah's statement, this is one of the manliest, most straightforward speeches ever delivered by any man. For depth of feeling and sincerity of purpose, it stands unexcelled. Donald Gray Barnhouse said, it's the most moving address in all the Word of God. He pleads for his brother's life. He pleads because he was his brother's surety. And so we find that Judah comes before him. Look at verse 18. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in the king, or in my Lord's ears. And let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. I see in this appeal an appeal of a sense of desperation. There's no self-confidence here. There's no arrogance here. He has been completely shaken to the core. And he unburdens his heart. He cries out and he makes an appeal. What's the essence of his appeal? Look at verse 18. He appeals for the governor's favor. He says, I pray thee, let thy servant speak a word in thine ear, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant. He appeals for the governor's favor.
And then he reminds the governor of the circumstances that brought them into the situation. He takes them back to the first time they came, and how that the governor had asked them, had he a father? And had he a brother? And how that they had told him exactly the truth. And he faithfully recalls all the circumstances of the past dealings. And how that Joseph said, I want to see your brother. And if you don't bring your brother with me, you'll never see my face again. And so he recalls all of those situations. How that the circumstances had evolved. How Benjamin happened to be there because that Joseph had demanded. He told him how his father would not let his brother go, or Benjamin go. But how he had pleaded with him. Father, if we're to have food for our children, then send Benjamin. We cannot see this man's face again, because you will not see the face of Joseph except you let Benjamin go with us. And so he appeals, he makes his solemn appeal. It's a very moving appeal. My friend, it is one of the most moving appeals that any man could ever make concerning his brother. You know, the Lord had really changed this man. This man once had sold his brother, Joseph, because his father loved him so much. And now we find that he's making an appeal for his brother. And I want you to listen to me carefully, because I believe in this chapter 30, this chapter 44, I believe that what we see here is two things. First of all, there's the plight of Benjamin, and then there's the plea for Benjamin. And there's a lovely gospel message here, and I want you to listen carefully. I want you to notice here that in Benjamin we see God's love for sinners. Because Benjamin was greatly loved by his father. He was greatly loved by his father. And just as Jacob loved Benjamin, so the word of God says, God so loved you and me. And friend, this morning perhaps you feel in this old cold world in which you're living that nobody cares or nobody understands what you're going through. I want to tell you something very solemn, very sweet. God loves you. God loves you. God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. He could love you no more. In actual fact, I'll tell you how God loved his people. God loved us so much that he loved us even as he loved Christ. Even as he loved Christ. That's what John 17 tells us. That's how much God loved me. And thank God he loves me today, because he loves me with an everlasting love. Benjamin was loved by his father. And there I see God's love for sinners. But something else I see in this passage of God's word, because I see the guilt that's in sinners. And the interesting thing about it is this. Benjamin's guilt originated in the act of another. You remember, Benjamin didn't put the cup into the sack. It was another who did it. And now he stands guilty because his guilt originated in the act of another. Now we find that this guilt lay concealed. It lay in the sack until God revealed it. And friend, I want to tell you this. You and I, because of Adam's sin, we're born in sin, born as sons of Adam's accursed race. And this morning, God reminds us that all have sinned. It's not enough to say that Adam sinned, but God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And whilst that sin lay concealed, that cup lay concealed in Benjamin's sack, So this morning, as you gather in God's house, maybe nobody sees your sin. Your sin lies completely concealed, but God knows it's there. Joseph knew that that cup was in Benjamin's sack because of the act of another, and God knows that your sin is in your heart and you're sinning against the God of heaven. And whilst nobody else may see it, let me tell you, when they took the sacks down, every one of those brothers thought that they were safe. Because not me. It's not in my sack. And let me tell you, my friend, people today can say, well, listen, he's a sinner. The down and out's a sinner. The one that lies in the gutter's a sinner. But I'm not a sinner. God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And just as that steward took that cup and revealed it there in Benjamin's sack, I pray that the blessed Holy Spirit this day will reveal your sin to your heart. Oh, that you might see your heart as God sees it. Oh, that you might see the awfulness of your sin. Because God hates your sin, and that sin not only makes you guilty, but that brings me to the third thing. We see here the peril of sinners. Because Benjamin was in peril of slavery because of the sack in his cup. In peril of slavery. He was sentenced to slavery, and that's what Joseph said concerning this young man. He was going to be his servant. He told to the rest of them, you can go home. You can go home. But the man in whose cup or in whose sack the cup is found, he shall be my servant. He shall be my slave. Friend, that's exactly what sin does to sinners. It brings you into slavery and bondage. You think that you're the master. You think that you're in control of your life. Let me tell you, my friend, the God of this world and the sin of your heart has you enslaved. And you're in peril because of your sin. Because if your sin's not repented of, if your sin is not confessed, then your sin will take you to hell in slavery for all eternity. Something else about the peril that he was in. Not only was it in peril of slavery, but in peril of separation. Because he was about to be separated from his family. He said, you can go home, but Benjamin's staying here as my servant. And sin was going to bring a separation. And friend, let me tell you what sin does. Sin wrecks families. It destroys friendships. And not only is there a slavery because of sin, there is a separation because of sin. But the greater separation is that for all eternity, because let me tell you, your sin will separate you from God forever. Your sin, unsaved person, will separate you from your family forever. Are there those in this house this morning and one part of the family saved and the other part's not? Let me tell you, there's a separation coming. And that separation's forever. And Mom, you're going to heaven and Dad, you're going to hell. You know, Mr. and Mrs. McLean, this August, were married 62 years. What an awful thing, my friend, after all the years of life, after all the struggles of life together, to be separated for all eternity. But thank God they're both going to heaven. But what about you? Sin's wrecking your family. It'll separate you for all eternity. There are no family reunions in hell. It's the blackness of darkness forever. The question is, shall we know each other in heaven? I believe we shall. But we'll not know each other in hell. It's a separation forever. In peril of slavery, in peril of separation, in peril of sorrow. Can you imagine what it was that moment when the sack was open? Every other brother's sack was emptied and open, but there was no cup. Now it comes to young Benjamin. And you know, these brothers may have hated Joseph, but they had come to love Benjamin. And the steward opens the sack and pulls out the cup. Can you see the sorrow? Can you see the anguish written upon their faces? The remorse as a result of the cup in Benjamin's sack. Friend, let me tell you, that's what sin brings. Sin brings sorrow. I was preaching on Father's Sunday, and one of the illustrations I used was the story of David the king. And he had a boy who broke his heart. Absalom had broken his heart. He became a killer, a murderer. And then he tried to take the throne from his father, David. But David loved Absalom still. And then finally, Absalom dies. And David follows him to the grave. He said, "Oh, Absalom, my son, I would have gladly died for you." And the reason was this, friend. You see, for David, when death came, all was well. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," he said, "I'll fear no evil. For Lord, you're with me." But what about Absalom? He died without the Lord. And David would have gladly changed place. But the sin of Absalom broke his father's heart. Let me tell you, friend, there's sorrow because of sin. You know, when the Bible talks about hell, it says it's a place not only of outer darkness, but it says it's a place of weeping and wailing. What an awful end. What an awful end for a man or woman sitting in gospel meeting place like this and go out into a lost eternity forever. Sin. The wages of sin is death. And there, my friend, I see the plight of Benjamin. He's in great danger. An unsaved, as you could only see it today, that's what you're in. You're in the plight of great danger. But you're like the brothers until the cup was revealed. They were sure all was well. And just because God hasn't stopped you this morning in your sin, just because God hasn't taken you away, but God has been gracious to you and God has been merciful to you and God has left you for another Sunday to come to the house of God, I beg you in God's name, do not presume on God's mercy. Do not presume that God will hold his mercy forever. Do not presume that you can go on another week as you've went many weeks in the past. And God's not going to stop you. Yes, others will be taken away. Yes, others will die in accidents. Yes, others will have disease. But God's just going to leave you immune. Just to let you carry on another week. Sinning. Rejecting. Rebelling. Against the Son. You can't see the plight. The danger. But very quickly notice not only the plight. Look at the plea. Because his only hope was in the intervention or the intercession of another. That was Benjamin's only hope. You know, Judah was the great intercessor. And thank God he was provided before the need arose. Go back to chapter 43. In chapter 43, in verse number 8, it says, "And Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever." Friend, let me tell you, he was provided for as a surety before the need arose. And what about our surety, the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Verse number 8, it says, Revelation 13, verse 8. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world." Thank God, in the heart of God, Christ, our surety, was provided before the need arose. The Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross was not an afterthought, but he was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God provided our surety. Notice also that Judah offered himself as a substitute for the condemned. Genesis 44, verse 33. "Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad." Instead of the lad. "A bondman to my Lord. And let the lad go up with his brethren." He offered himself a surety, a substitute for the condemned. And thank God that's what our Lord Jesus Christ did. It tells us in 1 Peter in the chapter number 3 in the verse number 18. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." You know, that's the good news of the gospel. I don't know what these other preachers have got to say to people today, friend, because let me tell you, outside of Jesus Christ, there is no hope. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no surety, because God will demand justice. And God will demand the price of sin to be paid. And if there is no substitute, and if there is no Savior, then man must pay the penalty himself. And the man who stands in the pulpit and he doesn't preach Christ and the substitutionary death of Christ upon the cross, that he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, thank God, we're healed. The man who has not that message to preach has no message at all. No message of hope for a condemned sinner. But thank God I can say to you today, Christ hath died, the just, for you and me, the unjust. Why? That he might bring us to God. That we might be brought home to heaven itself. Judah offered himself as a substitute for the condemned. And then thirdly, Judah provided life for one that was doomed to die. Look at verse 31. If it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. It wasn't only that Benjamin was condemned to be a slave, but when the boys would come home and Benjamin was not with them, the old man would die. But thank God, in Judah's offering, in what Judah was providing, he was providing life for one who was doomed to die. But he also provided liberty for one who was sentenced to slavery. Verse 33, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go. Let him go free. Let him go free. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. For Christ took our place. And he died in our guilty room instead, that we might go free. For he whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Friend, thank God for the intercession of Judah. Not a bit of wonder. Whenever the Holy Ghost was writing up it, let's turn to chapter 49. And in chapter 49, verse number 8, old Jacob is about to die. And what does he say? Judah, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren should praise. And friend, when we gather round the throne of God in heaven, do you know what we're going to do? Unto him who hath loved us and loosed us from our sin in his own blood, unto him be the glory. And we're going to worship him. And we're going to praise him forever. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you know the Lord? You know the Lord Jesus Christ is of the tribe of Judah, the lion in the tribe of Judah. This was a man that once, in the beginning of the story with Joseph, he was willing to sell his brother. But God has changed his heart. Let me tell you, God can change your heart today. God can change you. I wonder, friend, whenever Judah knelt down before Joseph, I wonder what Joseph expected him to say. I believe he said more than he was ever expected to say. He said, I will be thy bondsman, but let the lad go up with his brethren. We'll finish there, verse 34. How shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me? I believe that that's a burden that's on many a father's heart today. I believe that that's a burden on many a mother's heart today. How shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me? The lad be lost. Mom and Dad, in God's name, just as Judah cried to Joseph and begged Joseph for Benjamin, may God help you to have a broken heart to cry out for your children, to save them before it's too late. Then Joseph, verse 1 of chapter 45, could not reveal himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. What a reunion. I stood at the side of Tommy McLean's bed last night. And as the family gathered round his bed, I said there was a wee hymn that was just ringing in my ears. And it was this. There's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Friend, we'll meet you there. For that's the call of God today to your heart. Meet me there. May God's by God's grace, you will. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Let's pray.